Nicole, I'm Tig.
Hi, hi, hi.
We have a lot of mutual friends.
Yes, I think we've only met maybe in person one time.
And we've waited until this reunion.
Yes, we said hopefully a pandemic will come and then we can hop on the horn and get to it talking.
Horn, horn, horn. Fuff, fuff. This is Don't Ask Tig. I'm Tig Notaro, and here you are asking.
We are not alone, and nobody is hopeless. Everybody goes to shit. We got a friend in Tig. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Today's guest is a professional judge on the Netflix show Nailed It. The very funny Nicole Byer is here to help me give advice. Nicole, you were just nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Host.
Yes!
What? Congrats to you. That's incredible.
Thank you. It feels wild.
I would imagine. I mean, what's the past 24 hours been like for you?
If I'm going to be honest, it's been cool, and then also really nice because all of my friends have reached out and said really nice things. My two very dear friends, Paul and Madeline, sent me a bunch of champagne for me to drink. Another friend sent me donuts because I love treats. It's just been really nice. It's always nice when someone is like, hey, you worked hard and here's a cookie, you know?
Right. Here's a cookie or donuts and champagne. Mm-hmm. That's real. And you're the first Black woman,
yes,
host in this category.
It's a long sentence because it's like outstanding host of a reality competition show. It's like also oddly specific, you know what I mean? But you know, categories are.
That's the best, being very oddly specific. Nicole, you have to give honest feedback all the time on Nailed It.
Your cake has made me make a noise I've never made before. Wow.
Uh-huh.
That was a butter-flavored cake. I'm so sorry. I was gonna be nice. Oh, that's awful.
I'm just wondering if you have advice on how to give people feedback, even when it's negative.
I think realizing when people actually want feedback and when people just want a pat on the back. Usually people just want a pat on the back and don't want, you know, criticism. That's most people. But if you're close enough to somebody and they ask you what you genuinely, honestly think of something, I think constructive criticism goes a long way, where you can talk about things you like, but then also what you didn't like and how to improve what you didn't like. Because if you just say to somebody, I don't like it, it's like, well, you've offered me no solution to help as like to make it better. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I do. I know exactly what you mean. And I'm wondering, how do you deal with criticism? Do you take it well? Even when you ask for it? Because sometimes people will ask for it and then they get it and they're like,
I take criticism okay. Like if somebody says, I don't think you're funny, I don't think you're a good host, I go, okay, that's fine because it's subjective. And if you have any pointers, you know, let me know. Scream less. Okay, I could try to do that, but I love screaming. Screaming makes me me.
You and I have very similar styles.
Yes, Jake, you're so loud. God, you're loud. It's honestly shocking. But like things I don't want criticism for or critiques is like, if I post something on Instagram and I like label where I'm at incorrectly, you don't need to correct it. Who cares? I hate when people go, actually, just let me be happy and wrong.
Yes. There's a lot of exhausting stuff and people and opinions out there on social media. You try and be lighthearted or make a joke and then it's immediately down to business.
Yes.
You had a book come out this summer. It's called #VeryFat, #VeryBrave.
Mm-hmm.
One of your tips is to wear bikinis often.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you say to people who think they can't wear a bikini?
I say to people who say they can't wear a bikini to like really think about why you can't wear a bikini. if it's because you don't think they make them in your size, well, that's a lie. They do make them in your size. I think if you don't think you'll be aesthetically pleasing to the eye, whose eye? Everyone is beautiful to somebody. Somebody is ugly to somebody. I think you just have to understand that, like, if you want to swim, you should swim and wear whatever you want to swim. If you want to sunbathe, wear whatever you want to sunbathe. And if somebody has something negative to say, if that's your biggest fear, well, here you're in luck because there's nothing to fear. Like, your body is powerful. If someone can't get through their day without saying something nasty to you, that means you affected them. You didn't do anything except show your body and, like, they can't live. That's crazy. That's kind of cool if you think about it. So I think you just gotta like the skin you're in.
Exactly. I personally am not a bikini person. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in costume. I haven't worn, I used to wear them when I was a child. And now, as, you know, speaking to what you're saying about your body being powerful, a lot of times I'll swim topless and mm-hmm. I had a double mastectomy. And it's an empowering thing for me to just head off into the ocean with just some shorts on. Mm-hmm. And nobody said anything. But also, I think a lot of times people might just think I'm a man. So it's an ongoing theme for me where I think I'm really empowered. But mm-hmm. I just people are like, oh, yeah, there he goes. back into the water like a little fish, that guy. That fella there.
You may not think it's empowering, but it mm-hmm. is for someone to see. Do you have scars?
I do. I have scars across my chest.
So, yeah, if someone clocks those scars, that might put it in their brain to be like, oh, it is okay. I'm not alone.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I actually took off my shirt halfway through my HBO special mm-hmm. and didn't acknowledge it and showed people my scars. And I did that because I thought it would potentially empower people because I know I was scared mm-hmm. to have scars on my chest. And then when I realized that scars just mean that my body healed, then what's wrong with that? Nothing to be scared of. Something to be excited and proud of.
Mm-hmm. I'm slowly learning to, like, be topless. Sometimes I'll go swimming topless and I'm like, oh, this is so scandalous. And it's like, it's my backyard. It's fully not scandalous. You've paid to do whatever you want. But yeah, swimming and, like, letting the water hit your chest is fun. I like it.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Same.
I can't wait for our beach day.
Me too. I'm excited.
I think we have a ways to wait. All right, let's get into it. And our first question is, it's about an issue that I think a lot of people wonder about. Sophia writes, how do you make friends as an adult? And this is tricky now because mm-hmm. we're just living our lives at or should be living our lives at home.
Yeah. I mean, my answer is usually like, get a hobby, but you can't really get a hobby. Although I have a skate gang where a bunch of my dear friends and I roller skate.
Nice.
And we do it in the park. And at the park, I noticed an outdoor fitness class.
Mm-hmm.
So group activities are happening outside and you might make a new friend. I mean, you will be wearing a mask and that's like always so awkward to like talk to someone new in a mask. But like, I think that might be a good way to like make a friend, but also feel the sunshine and get out of your house in a safe way.
Mm-hmm. There's also online groups that are popping up.
Yeah.
I know that, I don't know if you're familiar with the Jane Club.
Yes.
But yeah, they've really made a nice transition into online socializing. And it started out as just a Los Angeles-based company. And now globally, women are connecting through the Jane Club. And so I know that there's opportunities like that. There's ways to do it through hobbies. Is that your main hobby? Is roller skating?
That's my second hobby. I've just been collecting hobbies during this quarantine. My first love is pole dancing. I really love pole dancing. man, it's hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, and I really like the challenge.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's a future for me?
Honestly, yes. Yeah, I think so. Okay, I think pole is for everybody. I think it's whatever you want it to be. Uh-huh. So, like, a lot of women,
I just want it to be sexy.
Yes, so some people want it to be sexy, okay, and, like, find a new way to be confident in their sexuality. Me, personally, I just want to do aggressive tricks. Like, I want to just, like, slam down in a split and have people be like, did she break her p-? Like, that's what I want.
Now, I just want to surprise Stephanie and get a pole and throw a bikini on and just really start doing, working on some sexy moves. And
I think you should do it.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 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 yes. I think, honestly, if that's something that you want to do, I think you should do it. I think it would be fun.
I think Stephanie wouldn't ever recover from seeing that. Especially if the kids walked in and I was in a bikini upside down on a pole.
They would be like, what on earth?
Yeah. I hope there was something there for you, Sophia.
Yeah, get a hobby.
We're going to take a quick break and we will be back with more questions. Thank you so much for listening and showing your support for our new show. You can be a part of it, actually. An important part. Don't Ask TIG is public media, which means we're funded by donations. Your support makes a real difference. So give what you can today at don'tasktig.org/donate.
I'm Tanya Mosley. In 1987, my sister Anita vanished without a trace. Decades later, thanks to DNA, we found her. But that's only the beginning of the story. She Has a Name is a new audio documentary that explores the search for redemption, confronting trauma, and healing in the face of unimaginable loss. Subscribe now to Truth Be Told Presents She Has a Name, where every revelation brings us closer to the truth.
I just feel like we are surrounded in this world by bullshit.
So how can you know what's real and what's not? Science passes. That's how. We answer questions like, does anti-aging skincare actually work? And what is your true personality type? And to answer these questions, we don't use opinions. We dive into the scientific studies, talk to the experts, and put it in a podcast that I know you are gonna love. Listen to Science Versus on Spotify.
And we're back. Nicole, real quick question. Are you perhaps a dog person?
I am a dog person. I have two little dogs, Charlie and Clyde.
Oh, that's so great. And they, I'm assuming, both wear bikinis and pole dance.
They
and,
do. They do.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm asking you about dogs because our next question, what if it had nothing to do with dogs?
I'd love it. I'd love that little segue into Dogville.
The next question is about someone who's afraid of becoming a dog hoarder. Warren asks, I'm still single at 45. I had a relationship with a gal for 3 years, but it didn't work out, and I have not dated after this. How do I avoid being a woman with no life partner who owns 17 wiener dogs? Well, first of all, Warren, I mean, if you now I'm taken, I am married, I am happily married, I do not want that to end. If it does, okay, I would have 17 wiener dogs, long-haired wiener dogs. And I've almost convinced Stephanie to have one long-haired wiener dog, but What's your feeling? Do you have any feelings, Nicole? And I know that's not really the question. I know it's not really about 17 wiener dogs, but I just, you know what it is? I don't appreciate the wiener dog joke. That's what it is. And I'm sorry. That's my trigger. That is my trigger.
I get it. But I think, why not? If you want a bunch of wiener dogs, Why not get a bunch of wiener dogs? Maybe it's like one of those, if you build it, they will come. Maybe you will attract the person who wants
That's
to live with 17 wiener dogs.
If I am your dream gal, Lauren, I would go running towards you.
I don't know if I've ever seen
a long-haired wiener dog.
Long-haired wiener
dog. I'm not crazy about the short-haired wiener dogs. They're fine.
Ooh, this is cute.
Is it not? Send 17 yes! my way. Okay?
Ooh, I like
Google
them a
blonde
lot.
Long-haired wiener dog.
Ooh, I found a
Gorgeous,
blonde one.
Right? Picture 17 of those heading into the house.
Yeah, I'm all about it. I think, oh my goodness, I think you should get them. Oh no. Oh, I love them. You were right about blonde. Blonde is it. Blonde.
So
oh,
beautiful. So what is this person's question? I'm realizing now that I got way off track with.
Oh, it's I haven't dated. They don't seem to be interested in dating, but if you are trying to date, this is a really hard time and you have to be patient.
Yeah, and I have to say, I mean, you gotta be yourself. You gotta mm-hmm. take your shirt off. You gotta have 17 wiener dogs with long hair.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta, if it's not right for you right now, respect that about yourself. But if you do get out there in the world, be you, have your little animals, have your little bikini, do your polling. You're going to find your match.
I really think so.
I really do. There are people out there that are going to want Warren, whoever Warren is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We love you, Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And we wish you all the luck in the world. Please keep in mind that if you do get a wiener dog, really go with the long haired.
Long hair and blonde. Those blonde ones are a showstopper.
Let's not stop the show, though. For the next question, Nicole, it might be time to crush some dreams. Or maybe not. Casey writes, I have zero restaurant experience, but opening a pizza place is the thing I most want to do. Do I listen to the people who say, take a risk? When is it taking a risk and when is it a wildly irresponsible action?
I think it is taking a risk when you have taken a couple of business courses and you understand that a lot of restaurants run at a loss or break even before they actually start to make money. And then a lot of them, once they start to make money, expand too fast, thus negating them making money, then running in the black again or in the red. So after you take your business courses, you partner with someone who does understand how restaurants work and can give you a little bit of cash capital so then you aren't running completely on credit. And then you have to make sure that you understand the stakes in your company, because I'm assuming you'll incorporate once you become a restaurant, and you need to remain the majority stake owner in your restaurant in case it does become, you know, something amazing. You don't want a 50-50 partner. You want someone who's investing to help you.
Nicole.
Hmm?
Have you been waiting your whole life to answer that question? I mean, what on earth?
No!
I mean, this is a comedy podcast, and you started crunching numbers, and you started sending people off to college, and you started being completely reasonable when we were just telling somebody to get 17 wiener dogs. And throw
but I
the
was very serious
clearly,
about that.
And I'm ready to hand you an Emmy Award for your pizza restaurant advice. That is incredible.
I just think people have a vision. They go, I want to open a restaurant. And they don't actually think of what you
right,
actually
need to
open a restaurant.
Right, but how do you know the actual correct answers?
Because opening a restaurant is a business. I don't understand the in and outs of a business.
But it sounds like you do. It sounds like you read some sort of Susie Orman opening your pizza restaurant 101 book. I think that as far as taking a risk, I'm all about big swings, and I don't know of a time that I really, really put myself out there, whether it was financially or romantically, even taking my shirt off on HBO during my special. It's always either paid off or felt better to make that leap than to wonder. That's where I am personally. If you have cash to potentially open a restaurant, I would say take that leap. Maybe not right now. Maybe in 2 to 5 years when the pandemic will hopefully be more under control, or make it a takeout restaurant. But if you believe in yourself and your abilities and you have the cash, I think it's worth taking a big swing, because I think it really feels better to do that than to wonder or regret.
I agree. Also, if you have a pizza oven, like in your backyard or something, you can start making pizzas for people you know, and then word of mouth, you can, I mean, I don't know what the health code
wait. You don't know the answer to that, but you know all of the business to setting up a restaurant. Well, you can't leave us high and dry like this, Nicole.
I don't know health code stuff. I don't know if you can legally sell pizzas out of your house.
What are you doing chiming in at all if you don't have the answers?
I know. It's just foolish of me.
All right. So, yeah, I do. I think we solved everything. We gave some hardcore number crunching and encouragement.
Yes.
And Casey, thanks for writing in. Nicole, the final question is about getting through a tough period.
Uh-oh.
Elizabeth writes, I'm often stuck in bed due to medical conditions. What can I do to keep me busy that doesn't involve moving my body? Whew. I have been there, Elizabeth. I have been there. Obviously, I have no idea what your medical condition is. And it does get so tricky when you try and help people during this time, because it always bumps up against social distancing and which, you know, could create another health concern. But I know for myself, I had spinal fusion a year ago and was bedridden for a while, and had many complications beyond my spine. And I set up a chair, and I don't know if it makes sense to have visitors, but if people do, with planning, maybe somebody, and I don't know how long you are stuck in bed, but maybe somebody would be willing.
Oh, a slumby.
Yeah, and come visit you and come spend some time and really connect with you. Because I guess I'm concerned that maybe Elizabeth is by herself. But even if you're not by yourself, it would be nice to have a visitor. Is there anything that you you would suggest? Or
I don't know if you were saying a slumby. I said slumby. I say have a friend get tested and then have them sleep over your house for a full week. They could, you know, dress you up and put makeup on.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, they don't have to put the makeup. It's not like Weekend at Bernie. You can do things. it's like, like you're just in bed and can't move. They can wrap you up like a mummy.
Oh, that's fun. That would be great.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, have a friend, have a slumby. Like, act like you're, I don't know. The best thing I've done during this like whole quarantine thing is truly be a child. I bought roller skates. I go to the park. I just bought light up jump ropes for double
light
dutch.
Up jump ropes. You're a busy bee. But you know what I did just think about while we were talking this nonsense? This would be fun. Get some makeup. Okay. Do your makeup without looking. And do it to the best of your ability, and then surprise yourself with the mirror, and then send us pictures.
Oh, I'd like to see that. I think that's fun.
Or maybe, ooh, here's another one, Elizabeth. Put a towel down underneath your head, get some scissors, cut your hair without looking,
And surprise yourself.
That's a segment called Surprise Yourself.
Here's right. another one. You should get some nail clippers, blindfold yourself, clip your toenails, and then take a picture and look at it and surprise yourself. That one's fully dangerous.
That is fully dangerous. Is there anything else? I think that those are the only options.
Yes. Surprise yourself or have a friend slumby.
Please send us pictures, Elizabeth. And that was the last question for today. But Nicole, before I let you go, we're going to try a new thing.
Ooh, okay.
Speed dating advice. You've got a lot of hobbies. You got a lot of projects. And one of these, it's a podcast called Why Won't You Date Me?
Yeah.
So I want to try a new segment that I'm calling Speed Dating Advice. What do you think of that catchy title?
I like it. Speed okay. dating advice. Zoom, 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 zoom.
Ooh, nice sound effects.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to ask you to give some very fast dating tips, if that's okay.
Yes.
But can we hear the vroom one more time?
Vroom, vroom, vroom.
That was me trying to honk somebody out of the way so the car didn't crash.
I loved it. I crossed the intersection with ease.
All right. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
For speed dating advice. Okay, online dating or getting set up by friends?
Getting set up by friends is fun.
Call the next morning or wait 3 days?
Wait 3 days. People love games.
Especially speed dating advice. share deodorant or share an HBO account?
Share an HBO account.
Bad breath or bad feet stench?
Oh boy, bad feet stench. You can cover them dogs up.
Yeah. Stick them in a Ziploc, right?
Mm-hmm.
Live with someone who plays the drums or someone who has a loud phone voice?
Uh-oh, drums.
Yeah, that's
the
answer.
I like, drums are fun.
Because the person with the loud phone voice, you're going to go out to dinner with them and they're also going to be blabbing really loud when you're trying to just have a me and you moment.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the same page. Would you rather break up with someone or be broken up with?
Oh, I'd rather break up with someone. That's something I've never done.
You'd like to break up with someone?
I would like to do that. I've never done it before.
Great. Nicole, I think we nailed these answers.
We did it.
And before I let you go, I have one more question.
Okay.
What's the best advice you've ever received?
Always ask for more money.
And have you seen really great results when you ask for more money?
Yeah. Usually people have more money.
Yeah, you like, don't leave a dime aside, on the table.
No, but jokes aside, if somebody's offering to pay you $10 and you ask for $11, if they had $10, that probably means they have $20, you know? So just ask for a little bit more.
Great. Love it. Thank you, Nicole. I mean, again, from all of your jobs and this Emmy nomination, your hobbies, everything. I mean, how did you find time to be here on Don't Ask Tig? It's really
I cleared
impressive.
My day because this was important to me.
What project should everybody know about?
I have 5 podcasts. Why Won't You Date Me? Best Friends with Sashir Zameda. Newcomers with Lauren Lapkus. Right now we're watching Lord of the Rings. And let me tell you, those movies are long and boring. what's the other one? Oh, 90 Day Bay, where I watch 90 Day Fiancé with my friend Marcy and we talk about it. And then Drag Her with Manu Agapian, where we watch RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm watching a lot of television. And I said, I'm going to monetize it.
Wow.
And then I have a book, Very Fat, Very Brave, you can buy. Nailed It is on Netflix. It's Emmy nominated.
My God.
That's
Nicole, it. Nicole, you are on fire and you deserve it. And I wish you all the best with everything you do, always and forever.
Thank you so much. I wish you the best, Tig.
Everyone out there listening, remember you can always send in your own questions at don'tasktig.org. And, Nicole, I'll see you at the top.
Toodaloo! Can't wait to see you all the way at the top with the wind blowing past our heads.
oh my gosh, I haven't heard that song in so long. Later, Tater.
Bye.
You can always ask for advice on don'tasktig.org. Just write in with your problem or send us a voice memo. You can also follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Don't Ask Tig.
What's your heart?
Don't Ask Tig is hosted by me, Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, Mary Knopf, and Tracy Mumford. Our editor is Phyllis Fletcher. Executive producer, Lauren D. Engineering and sound mixing by Eric Romani. Digital production by Christina Lopez. Talent booking by Rocky Benlulu Dubin. Our theme music is Friend and Tig by Edie Burkell and Kyle Crusham. And Listen to Your Heart by Edie Burkell. Special thanks to Hunter Seidman, Lily Kim, and Alex Shafford. Our executive consultant is Dean Capello and Gobsmack Studios. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to rate and review us. Don't Ask Tig is a production of American Public Media. And as always, thank you, Dana.
Hi, I'm stand-up comedian and sex symbol Tig Notaro.
And I'm actor and writer Cheryl Hines.
Before Cheryl and I got into the big business of podcasting together, we were just simply friends.
And we're still friends. But now we talk about a different documentary every week on our podcast, Tig and Cheryl, True Story. So whether you love documentaries or just want to hear us slowly lose our minds, check out Tig and Cheryl, True Story, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, cool.